Well, we got our permits, y'all. Amen. It was an amazing experience. I want to thank all the people that came. We filled that place up, and it was intense. You saw the people who were against us, and it was, you know, on and on and on about, you know, all this toxic stuff. And if you heard some of that stuff and are concerned about it, we'll have something on our webpage to reassure you that all the that stuff is just bogus. I mean, it's just making stuff up. Our attorney went up after they spoke and just said, "Here are the facts. That's fiction. Let me tell you the facts." And it was great. He was phenomenal. One of the funny things that happened during the day is they asked where our children come from for our school. And so I get up and say, you know, they come from all over San Diego. And the chairman who called the vote at the end, he said, "Do you guys have a specialty in your school?" And I said, "Yeah, God." And he kind of just sat back and said, you know, that was a dumb question. But all the people on the commission and all the people who work for the city that processed our permit were all very gracious to us and very fair. I thought it was a great hearing. I thought they were very fair. And actually, we kind of saw God's hand in it, because the atmosphere was tense for the first half. And then we took a break, and then we got up to share our side of the story. But it was very, very tense. I'll tell you one interesting story. You know, we've been through so many ups and downs of being canceled and all the last-minute things, and I was just preparing myself for something to happen that day. As a matter of fact, the day before, I called the project manager and said, "Has anything happened yet?" And he said, "Nope, we're still on for tomorrow." So I get up that morning, and the hearing was at 1:30. I'm thinking something's going to happen, so I'm just preparing myself. And I'm in the line, and you know, the line was long. A bunch of people came in. And just as I'm going through the metal detector, my phone rings. So I pick up the phone, and it's the project manager on the phone. And I'm like, "What?" And he says, "Are you sitting down?" I go, "No." What happened? Well, the people who were against us showed up at 9 o'clock. They claimed they didn't know it was at 1:30, but they knew. I mean, they were told that the last hearing was on the internet. They got a phone call. They got an email. They were noticed. But because they showed up at 9 o'clock, they protest and put in a request to move the whole hearing to another day. So I'm listening to this on the phone. I'm looking at all these people in line, you know, all excited. We finally get to that. I'm cracking up, laughing at the top of my lungs. And the police is looking at me like, you know, I'm going through the metal detector. He's like, okay. So I got to go through the metal detector, go upstairs. And they had the hearing anyway. I mean, the commissioners just said, "Look, they knew. We told them ourselves," and they were notified 3 or 4 times, so they had the hearing. But that was the last minute. I was sitting there going, "There's no way that can happen." But we got it. Now, what's next? What's next is on December 1st, we are going to apply for a building permit. The reason December 1st is that it takes about 6 months to prepare the application. We've already started the application by faith, knowing this was going to happen, and so we're already ahead of schedule on that. We'll apply on December 1st. That takes 4, 6, whatever months, you know how it is, whatever months it takes. Once we get that permit, we close escrow, we start construction. Right at that time, we have to buy the building and start construction. We're going to need about $10 million more dollars between now and then. Now, I want you to listen to what that is. It's $10 million more dollars than we have today between now and the next, whenever we close escrow. So that's another God-sized request and order that only God can fill. You can keep praying for that. And if you pledge MP3, whatever your part is, just do your part. And if God puts it in your heart to do something different, that's up to you and God. But we just need to pray for that, and God's going to do that. This was the hardest legal battle, no question, and legal hurdle. There's no more appeals. They can sue the city, and that's up to them if they want to do that. But we have our permit, and we can move forward, and we're going to do that, and we're very excited about it. Two things, not only the money we need, but ministry. God has given us this building for a purpose, to do ministry. And so if you look in your bulletin, you're going to get out this little brown card, if you will, please. We are having a rally on September 11th. And at that rally, we are going to unveil our new vision statement and a new small group model that is going to empower us to reach out to people who are not in church at all to come to small groups. It's not going to cancel the small groups we have. We're adding another format. This is very exciting. And if you want to host one in your home, it's going to be a 6-week program to start. If you want to host one in your home or attend one, you can just fill that little card out and go to the small group table outside. We are going to continue to press forward and evangelize San Diego. and beyond. So this is another huge confirmation. God just provided us with two buildings, 279,000 square feet, next to the airport in the finest city of America to do ministry. Do you understand what that means? That is responsibility. That is not a gift for us to just have to be, you know, to enjoy. We are going to enjoy it, but he has given it to us for a purpose. Okay? We are in the business of saving souls. And so we have to do that very well. So that was a big confirmation, and to get 4-0 was even a huge blessing. Matter of fact, we only needed one vote, and the chairman, right before they voted, said, basically, The Rock only needs one vote, and if the opposition doesn't get all four votes, they lose. And I'm voting for, he didn't say these words, I'm voting for The Rock, but he says, I'm not going to support the appeal, I'm supporting the project, so we don't need to go any further. I mean, he said that, basically. He says, so basically, it's not going to, so what do y'all want to do? And so the other commissioners, they had a couple questions, and we went on for another 15 minutes, and then they all voted, and it was 4-0. But it was so cool when he said, he's like, you know, they ain't getting the vote because I'm not supporting it, and I'm supporting The Rock. So, and I was like, yeah, baby. He was such a nice guy. I'm telling you, he was really a nice guy. And anyway, let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens and your lesson plan. Okay, turn to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Welcome all you visitors. We are ending Genesis today. And we are ending the series on Joseph and dreamers. By the way, next week, we are going to review the whole book of Genesis. Come with your minds ready to think. We're going to go through the whole book, and you're going to learn a gang of information. Next week, we're going to have a super, super quiz. It's going to take 40 minutes. No, seriously, we're going to go through questions, and we're going to review a whole bunch of stuff that we looked at over the last 8 months. I know it's been on and off, but we're going to have a great time next week. We've never done this format before that we're going to do next week. So come with your minds ready to go, and you're going to walk out of here either with a headache or excited. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Your Bible and Genesis, we thank you for all the characters, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Noah, Cain, and Abel, Adam, and Eve, all the people, Melchizedek, all the people that we've just studied and learned about over the last, all this year. And we just pray now as we finish up this series on out having a dream and having our dreams fulfilled, I pray that you would encourage us in these principles. In Jesus' name, amen. About 6 weeks ago, we started a series studying the life of Joseph, and Joseph was a dreamer. We talked about how to have a dream, how to implement your dream, focusing on your skills, and now we're at the end of the book, at the end of Joseph's dream, and we're going to look at how Joseph acted at the end. Every single one of you have a dream. God has a vision and purpose for your life, which is that dream. You may not know what it is. You may have a dream to be a multimillionaire, and God may have a dream for you to be a missionary. Well, being a missionary is really what you need to focus on. And so God has this vision for your life that's compatible with your natural gifts and compatible with your spiritual, your natural talents and your spiritual gifts, both to be used to fulfill this vision and dream that God has for your life. Now, you may think, well, I have an idea of what I want to do, but where do I begin? Many people, when they have a dream or a vision, or something, or a plan they want to implement, the first question they ask, what do I do next? Well, one of the most valuable things you can do is begin strategizing and planning with the end in mind. In other words, step back and think, if this dream was to come true, what would it look like? Example, we saw the building 3.5 years ago, and we sat back and said, how would we use this building? We're going to have a sanctuary. We're going to have a nice lobby where people can hang out and see videos, et cetera, et cetera. We have a cafe, bookstore, school, gymnasium, multi-purpose room, aerobics, basketball, volleyball. We got a 46-acre park. We got offices. We got TV, radio, all these things we're going to do in this building. We have a little park in the back. We have a little playground for the kids, playground for the adults. All these things we want to do. For the adults, right? Did I say that right? Okay, you got all these things. So if that's the end, then you have to back up and develop a strategy. How much is that going to cost? What contract are you going to need? What kind of building is it? Is it going to have to be demoed or part of it demoed? So what kind of contract are you going to get? What kind of architect are you going to get? What kind of lawyers are you going to need? What kind of engineers? What kind of permits? How much will those permits cost? How long will the construction take? What kind of staff? What are the skills of the staff? How many staff? What's your mission? What's your vision? Where are they all going to sit? What kind of sanctuary are you going to have? Are you going to do plays and concerts and orchestra? What kind of acoustics do you want to have? Big screens or little screens? No screens? What are you going to do? All these questions you have to answer with the end in mind. And once you decide all that, you work backwards and develop a strategy to get and accomplish all that. Are you with me? Do that with anything you want to do. If you want to get married, if you want to buy a house, if you want to buy a car, you start with the end in mind, what kind of car you want to have, what kind of house, how much it's going to cost, what are you going to use it for, et cetera, et cetera. And then you develop a strategy working backwards. The one thing people forget is to think about what kind of person do you need to be at the end? In other words, if all that happened, how are you going to be different when it happens? You're not going to be the same person you are today. If you were ready now, it would happen now. And so when you look at the end and you consider the end of your dream, you have to ask yourself, what kind of attitude do I need to have when it is fulfilled? And if I know that, then I can plan that attitude now. I can nurture and develop that attitude now. One of the things that destroys people's dreams more than anything else is their attitude, their integrity, their walk with God, their honesty. That's more than anything else. You could take all someone's money away, their dream is still alive if the attitude is straight. They'll just get more money. You could take all their friends, can abandon them. If the attitude is right, they'll overcome that. They can get sick. They can overcome that. But if your attitude and your integrity is bad, it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen in a way to honor God. And so the benefit of reading the Bible is we get to see the future in advance. We get to look at the end of Joseph's dream and to discover what kind of attitude he had. And we can say, you know what? I want to develop that attitude now, because the quicker I can get my attitude straight, the quicker the vision's going to happen. And the more people it's going to reach, the quicker it happens. Joseph had an attitude of honor. Look in your notes. The Bible, the notes say, dreamers finish with honor. Now, honor is to esteem something better than yourself, to esteem something important, to acknowledge a value of something that is high. That is to honor. Joseph was a guy who honored, and he honored three things. He honored the past, he honored the present, and he honored the future. I'm going to say it again. He honored the past, he honored the present, and the future. When your dream is fulfilled, you are going to be a person that will honor all the past experiences you had. You're going to honor the dream itself and what's happening, and you are also, we're going to see in a minute, you're going to honor the future. We had a staff meeting the other day, and I wore some shades. I'm not an eyeglass person. I don't wear shades a lot, and definitely when I'm talking to people, but I had the shades on in the meeting. And I said, I'm going to keep these shades on until someone tells me why I have them on. And someone knew the answer real quick, and she says, because the future is bright. That's right. The future's bright. Let's look in the Bible. Chapter 50, verse 29. Jacob, or Israel, who is Joseph's dad, just finishing blessing his sons. In verse 29. Chapter 49, verse 29. Thanks for paying attention. We're in the book of Job. Genesis 49, 29. Jacob says, then he charged them and said, I am being gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan. They're in Egypt now. Bury me in Canaan, in the cave which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial. There they buried Abraham and his wife, Sarah. There they buried Isaac, my dad, and Rebekah, his wife, my mom. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet into his bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. Here's Joseph. He had a dream that his father and his brothers would bow down to him. The dream came true. All his family's there. They're starting to multiply. And his father dies. And when he dies, he tells Joseph, Joseph, do not bury me in Egypt. Bury me in Canaan, the promised land. Bury me in the cave that Abraham, my grandfather, bought, and that he's buried with my grandmother, and my dad and mom are in there, and I'm going to be there with my wife, Leah, and I'm going to be there, and guess what? You're going to be there too. Because that cave represents a promise that God made to us that we were going to have our own land. This land here is not our land. So I want you to understand, what you have inherited, Joseph, is this promise from God that our land is over there. Look in your notes. Dreamers honor their heritage. Your heritage is what has been in, you have inherited based on your family. You can inherit certain character traits in your body. Joseph inherited a promise from God. Joseph inherited this family and his brothers and his dad Israel, and that God was going to bring them back to the promised land and be their God. That's what he inherited. Joseph wasn't doing this dream and fulfilling this thing for himself. Remember, your dream is not for you. It's bigger than you. And your dream is connected to something God has already established a long time ago. God told Abraham in Genesis 12, I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. And through you, the whole world, all the nations will be blessed through Jesus. He made that promise. God's going to keep that promise. Then Jesus came. So Abraham says, I'm going to buy this field, and I'm going to buy this cave, and I'm going to bury myself here, because you know what? I know God's going to keep his promise. Isaac, same thing. Bury me in that cave. Jacob, same thing. Bury me in that cave. Why? Because the promise that God made long ago, he is going to keep. And here's Joseph honoring that. Look at chapter 50, verse 1. Chapter 50, verse 1, it says, Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. 40 days they were required for him, for such are the days required for those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. They embalmed him for 40, and they mourned another month. 70 days. Now, when they embalmed people, the Egyptians was a very advanced culture. They understood medicine, engineering. They had a legal system. They had underground lighting systems in their pyramids. When they embalmed you, they would take out your heart and put it in a canister. Your vital organs, put it in separate canisters. They would wrap each finger separately. They would take your eyes out, put them in a canister. They would scoop their brain through their eye sockets and put it in a canister. And they would wrap the whole body up, put it in three coffins, and put it in the tomb. And when they put the Pharaoh in the pyramid, they had gold, silver, chariots, weapons for warfare. They engraved in the wall armies of men. Why? Because they believed that the Pharaoh was going to rise from the dead, and he was going to need all that stuff. That's why that stuff was down there. They knew how to embalm people. You know what he says? I'm going to embalm my dad. 40 days, 40 is the number of testing, and he took him to Egypt, to Canaan. Why? Because Joseph honored not only his word to his dad, but he honored God's word to his dad. He honored God's word to his granddad. He honored God's word to his great-granddad. Do you know that when you were born again, you inherit a promise? God's made a promise to Abraham. That promise is held out to you. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you inherit that promise. Write down Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Galatians 4:7, you are no longer a slave but a son. Since you are a son of God, God has made you an heir, someone to inherit something that was promised long time ago. You walking and God fulfilling his promise and his vision in your life is all about him fulfilling a promise he made long before you were born. So your dream is not about you. It's not about your family. It's about a bigger picture. It's more important than that. It's about you being fulfilled and walking in the fulfillment of a promise God made to you. It's amazing. There's a verse in the Bible You can write this down. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. I love that. What does that mean? That if God made you a promise, the only way you're going to get it to be yes is if you cling to Jesus. Remember Jacob was wrestling with the devil? I mean, with the devil, with Jesus all night. He was wrestling with him and he said, let me go. The angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. He said, that's what I want. Hold on to me. Don't let me go. He says, now I'm going to change your name. Instead of it being Jacob, deceiver, your name is now Israel, prince with God. Your God's promises to you will find its yes when you trust in God. What does that mean? All you got to do is walk with God. $10 million? That's God's problem. Now, they will come after me if I don't get, if you don't. They will do that. There's no question about it. So we, you know, we got little insurance policies and stuff, you know. Matter of fact, with the bank, the bank won't let us lend us the money unless there's an insurance policy on my life. Just in case I die, they can get the money back. And they said, you know, if you, they wanted to make sure we had that. And they said, what happens if you cheat on your wife? They asked me this, you know, what happens if you fall, if you have an integrity issue, which I just talked about? I said, well, my wife will kill me. You get the policy money. So you're set. You're covered. But it is not my responsibility to go out and get a second job to raise $10 million. My job is to do what God tells me to do, and that's to say what He wants me to say. Don't say what He doesn't want me to say, and He'll lead me to the right people and say the right things to the right people. My job is to just obey and to be so meticulous. Lord, I just want to do what You say. That's it. That's when you do that, all the promises of God to you are yes, because God is not slack in keeping His promises. He's not slack. His desire is that all would be saved. So, God, you have inherited. You need to say, I'm a Christian. Now, what does that mean happened in the past? Before the foundations of the earth, God had to predetermine you to be here. Now, you have a free will. How do those two things work together? Don't ask, because I don't know. But you have a free will, and God predestined you. He knew. All you have to do is do what you got to do. Now, when you inherit something from your family, from your parents, it's, some people believe it's only genetic. In other words, you know, your big nose, your intelligence, your kinky hair, your straight hair, your crooked teeth, your white teeth, your big feet, whatever it is you get from your parents, it's usually genetic. But there's a group called hereditarians. Not vegetarians, hereditarians. They believe that you can not only inherit genetic traits from your family, you can inherit moral values from your family. I don't know if that's true with people, but I know it's true with God. When you are born again, you inherit from your father a character that's godly. Ooh! God downloads into your heart His Holy Ghost and all the holy, righteous character. So you walk with God, you have to understand, that's in you. You got it. You just got to, by faith, access it. You got to access it. It's already there. You have the ability to be patient, loving, kind, and the only reason you don't is because you willingly resist it. And so you got to say, I got to look back and say, what did God already give me? What did God already do for me? He already forgave me. He already paid for all my sin. That's the past. He also honored the present. Look at chapter 50, verse 15. It says in 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, we be in trouble. Why? Because, you know, they tried to sell, they sold Joseph. They think Joseph's going to pay him back. Look what it says. Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for the evil which we had done to him. So they sent messages to Joseph and saying, before your father died, he commanded you, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespasses of your servants of God, your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Why did he cry? Because Joseph said, you guys are still tripping on that? You guys think, you think I would do that? Come on. You guys are carrying that burden still? Come on. You guys are living in the past. Let's move forward. But look what Joseph said. Joseph said, verse 18, his brothers also went and fell down before his face again. And they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people. Joseph said, wait, fellas, I am not God. When Peter went to witness to Cornelius' family, Cornelius fell down and worshiped him, and Peter said, get up, I'm just a servant just like you. When John was receiving the book of Revelation, an angel appeared to him, he fell down and worshiped the angel, and the angel said, get up, I'm just a brother like you. And Joseph said, fellas, get up, I'm just a guy. Guess what? What you did to me, I know you meant it for evil. I know you guys hated me and resented me and were jealous of me. It's okay. God had a bigger plan. You know, so many of us live to be comfortable. Not wrong being comfortable, but you won't always be comfortable. We live to get what we want. Ain't nothing wrong with getting stuff we want, but you always won't get what you want. And we have no right to complain when we don't. Zero. I was listening to a tape the other day. This guy was talking about this woman who was in the bed 22 years, paralyzed, 22 years in the bed. She had no visitors. He met her, and he ended up visiting her every week for the last 3 years of her life. He asked her, what do you do when you sit here all day? She says, I sing to my Jesus. He said, what do you sing about? I thank him for being so good to me. Y'all have nothing to complain about. Nothing. You'll get over it. Remember when you were 16 and your friend didn't like you anymore? You got over that. You can't remember that name. Remember that boy when you were 15, you just thought he was the cutest thing in the world? And you look at pictures of him now and you go, what was I thinking? I watched The Last Samurai the other night. I probably will watch it again. Make a long story short, if you haven't seen the movie, is Tom Cruise. I can see his face in my mind. He ends up being captured by a group of samurai warriors. He was in a battle, and he ended up killing a bunch of them, and he ended up getting captured by them. They didn't kill him for some reason. They healed him. And the head samurai said, I want to learn about my enemy. It's the reason he healed him. Tom Cruise was nursed back to health by the wife of a guy he killed in the battle. He lived in the home of this woman and her kids, and he had just killed their father and husband. And the woman was asking her brother, who was the head samurai, please take this man out of my house. It's shaming me. He says, just do your duty. Well, it's not about you. It's about something bigger. And Tom Cruise, as he was living in this community, he was stuck there for, I think, 4 or 5 months. He realized two things about these people. One, samurai means to serve. One is that they devoted themselves and they lived to fulfill a set of moral standards that was above them. Their whole life was consumed in fulfilling the set of moral standards. It wasn't about what they wanted. It was about being obedient to the set of moral standards that was above even what Tom Cruise knew in his lifestyle. And he says, from morning till night, from the moment they wake up, they spend all day committed to perfecting whatever they do. He was blown away by this culture that he actually became a samurai. So it's an amazing story about honor, about commitment, and about discipline. And in several parts of the movie, these samurais, especially the head guy, went to the emperor and says, if I am no longer useful to you, I will kill myself. Why? Because their life's purpose was not about them. It was about fulfilling something bigger than them. It was so important to fulfill what was bigger than them that they didn't matter. Oh, if we can live for Christ that way. if you could live for Christ that way, you know, so, I've had so many people say to me, and to me, other people, that my bald head looks horrible. I don't, I'm not offended easily, so they're really not mad. It doesn't bother me at all, because I really don't care. I didn't do it to look nice. I wonder how many things you don't do because of what someone might say. I wonder if God says, I want you to go over there and do that, and you go, well, let me think what people might say. Or I wonder if that's going to bring me more money. Or I wonder if that's going to give me the lifestyle that I want. I wonder if we make, how many decisions we make about obeying God are determined by those kinds of things. Instead of saying, yes, sir. And yes, I might be uncomfortable. And yes, I might be inconvenienced. And yes, I might get criticized. Yes, I might get talked about. So there's nowhere in the Bible that you can justify disobeying God because of those things. Matter of fact, the essence of obedience and obedient Christian is to do the things, to do what God tells you despite those things. Joseph says, fellas, I know I was inconvenienced. I was sold to slavery. I didn't see my family for 22 years. I was wondering, was my daddy alive? I know you guys wronged me horribly. But it's okay, because God had a bigger plan. Do you know what God's plan is for your life? If you know what God's plan is for your life, all these little petty things that we get worried about, people talking about us, people stabbing us in the back, people, it's worth it. It's worth it. Look in your notes. Dreamers honor the dream's purpose more than their own interest. More than your own interest. Your life is like a movie. You are a character in the movie. You need to honor the movie, not the character. Why is it important to think of it as a movie? Because you don't know what the end is yet. So stop complaining about the present. Oh, it's not fair. Oh, I need to have that house. Oh, I need to have that man. I need to have that woman. It's not fair. I need to buy those shoes. I was supposed to buy those shoes. You don't know the end of the movie. I was in the store yesterday, the other day. By the way, I was in the mall with my daughter. I don't know why. I have no idea how this happened. Not only was I in the mall, I was in a store with dresses, standing in front of a rack, thinking, how did this come about? Journal, don't ever do that again. She sees this dress. I got to have it, Dad. I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. I was like, breathe. I had to bring it outside. Breathe. Breathe. It is not going to happen. Breathe. And by the way, I hate to say this, but in Proverbs 31, it proves that women genetically are inclined to shop. But you can read that later. But it's I hate to admit it. It's a horrible verse. It's a horrible chapter of the Bible. Some woman must have put it in there or something. My point is this. What's happening today, you have to wait to the end of the movie. And you know the good thing about the Bible? The Bible tells you the end of the movie. You win. You go to heaven. You know the end of the movie. Oh, what's going to happen to me? I can tell you. Look in the Bible. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to be singing all day. You're never going to be sick. You're never going to cry again. That's what's going to happen. So why are we worried about this and that? Number three, look in your notes. Number three, dreamers honor the dream's legacy. This is critical. If you're taking notes, please write this down. If your dream is from God, if your dream is from God, it will outlive you. That means that what you are investing your life in, if you are fulfilling God's purpose for your life, and key, God's purpose for your life, it will outlive you and save people long after you're gone. That is exciting. Now, there's a psychologist called Eric Erickson, and he came up with 8 stages of psychosocial development. His theory was that everyone goes through these eight stages of psychosocial development, that you develop psychologically how you react and interact with your environment. The first stage is a struggle between trust and mistrust. You see it mostly in a little baby. A little baby's with mommy, she's quiet or he's quiet, sleeping, content. And mommy puts the baby down. What does the baby do? Cry, because the baby feels uncomfortable. It doesn't trust the environment. Baby, mommy picks the baby up, starts crying, feels more comfortable. We go through that every time we go into a new environment. People walk into church for the first time. Some of y'all here for the first time. First thing you do is look around. Okay, who's in here? People talking about me, looking at me. Oh, they need Jesus, okay. You know what I'm saying? You feel the air, smell the green, you know, they're comfortable, look at the seats, and spell stuff off, how's the music, oh, praise the Lord, let me check it out, you know. There's a struggle, okay? And after a while, maybe after 10 minutes, and maybe after 3 weeks, you start to feel comfortable, and then you move on to the next stage, which is the stage of autonomy, where you start to take initiative and do things on your own. So it's eight stages. The seventh stage is the stage of the struggle between generativity and stagnation. Generativity means that you are really concerned and committed to investing in things that will outlive you. Scripps Hospital, Qualcomm Stadium. You want to either put your name or your stamp on something that will outlive you, because you grow out of the stage of me, 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 me. When we're young and immature, it's all about us. Little kids take something away from them. They cry. It's all about me. Some people grow up and they still have that mentality. It's all about me. I don't get my way. I complain. Right? It's immaturity. Versus saying, how can I now, this is deep, not only help you, but how can I help people who I will never meet? How can I help people 100 years from now? This is vision. This is dream implementation correctly. Joseph understood that. Look at the Bible. Chapter 50, verse 22. He says, Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years, 93 years after his dream. He's still alive. 93 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, that's his son. The children of Makur and the sons of Manasseh, his other son, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. In verse 24, Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Take an oath from the children of Israel. Then he took an oath from the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you and you shall carry up my bones from here. Here's what Joseph said. Joseph says, I understand the promise that God made. I understand that what I'm doing now is part of that. And I understand that the dream that I'm just part of is going to continue. And that all the people that God has used me to help, and all the descendants of my dad, Israel, that multiply in the land from 70 people to 3 million, all those people one day are going to be carried out by 400 years from now, be carried out to the promised land. Make a promise now. Pass it on to generation after generation after generation that I want to go with you. Don't leave my bones here. Because I know that what I have been a part of is going to continue. Do you know that God, the dream he has for your life, is not just for your life. It's not just for your time. It can keep going. I don't even know if that fires you up. You may not care. You may say, hey, you know, I'm dead, I'm gone, I don't care. That ain't God's heart. Why? Because God has given you more talent than that. He's given you more ability than that. He has a bigger plan for your life than that. He sees you as more valuable than that. That's the exciting thing. My encouragement to you is say, Lord, show me. You would do something like that through me. You have something in me that can grow. Have you ever seen one of those big old oak trees? I don't know if it's an oak tree. Whatever comes out of a little acorn like that. Am I right? It don't matter. You know what I'm saying, right? The big tree have a little corn like that. Can you imagine whatever that thing is? Can you imagine those two little acorns? Is it acorn?
Okay, can you imagine two little acorns talking? One day I'm going to be 100 feet tall. I'm going to have nests in me. I'm going to be way up there. I'm going to have branches out, leaves out. I'm going to be the king of the forest. And the little kid said, fool, you're only 1 inch high. You have no idea the potential that's wrapped up in this little brown sugar crusty little shell that I got. You see this little hard cap right here? I got to rip that thing off, put me in the ground, and boom! Do you know that God has something better for you than that? Now, you may think, well, you know, not me. Please, shut up. That's the devil. God don't make junk. Your parents might not have planned you, but God did. He don't make junk. He don't make mistakes. He got a plan for you. He knitted you together in the womb. Walt Disney. When Disney World was dedicated, Walt Disney had died. They had a big ceremony. His wife was there. Someone said to him, to her, we wish Walt was here to see it. She said, he already saw it. He already saw it. Matter of fact, you might want to change that because that's not what it's going to be. He already knew 50 years ago this. God can give you a vision that will blow your mind, consume the rest of your life, and when you die, you'll still be seeing more. And long after you're gone, people can still be getting help by what you do. When I look at that building there, it's the size of Noah's Ark. It's 6 feet shorter. It's the exact same height, the exact number of floors, and 100 feet wider. Noah's Ark was built to withstand a flood, the first form of destruction of the world. That building was built to withstand a bomb, fire, second form of destruction. Now, I'm not saying it's good. We're going to be in there when the hellfire and brimstone fall, we're going to be fine, but it is like kind of ironic. But I look at that building that used to be used to train warriors for military, human man military, and our rock school, the Rock Warriors, is now going to be trained to train an army for God. God, don't you think that I'm asking God every day, God, tell me what you intended thousands of years ago for that place? Tell me, show me what you intended. How are we going to reach this city? Oh, God is like this. You don't think he's not? He's like, brother, you only got X amount of years left. I'm gonna try to get out of you everything I can. And I'm like, God, but you know what? And I'm with you on that. And send more laborers. Because he's like, I got him. Just get your act together, fool. My wife, she went out the other night, last night, and I said, honey, you know, what am I eating for dinner? It gets funnier. She says, I said, what kind of wife are you going to leave me here with no food? She says, you're a grown man. Deal with it. And she left. You know, we're grown-ups. We got to deal with it. God says, oh, you got a job to do. Go do it and stop complaining. Go do it and stop complaining. And by the way, do it my way. And by the way, bear fruit that's worthy of you calling yourself my child. That's the mandate. There's nothing less. And that mandate, that will never be fulfilled as long as you want to hold on to your selfish desires. You got to die to your flesh. You got to die to your flesh. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, there are people here right now who want to step up and fulfill what you call them to fulfill. And I pray right now as I'm praying that they would just get up out of their seat and come down to the altar. We don't have a lot of time. They know their heart is burning. They want everything you have for them. I pray right now as I'm praying, they would get up out of their seat right now and come down to the altar. We could pray for them. You have an amazing plan. They're ready to step up. They're ready to walk away from the old, the past. They're ready to walk away. They want to get to a point in their life where they're living for you. Just get up out of your seat. We got 1 minute. We got to get you out of here so the next group can come in. Just get up out of your seat. God's been speaking to you. You don't need him to speak to you anymore. Just get up right now. Come on down. And by coming down, you're saying, Lord, here I am. I don't know everything, don't understand everything, but what I know is I need you. That all your promises find yes in you. Just get up out of your seat. Anybody else? Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're not going to wait long. We got 30 more seconds. Then we're going to pray and we're going to go. Some of you right now need to move. You need to walk away from your fear and walk away from your old self today, right now in this place. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Lord, I want to pray for all these people who are standing and kneeling here, who are getting up right now. I pray, Lord, that you explode a vivid, colorful picture in their mind. That you would speak to them every day about this amazing plan, this dream that you have for them. That they would hold it, esteem it high, and honor it. They would honor all that you've done to this point, what you're doing now, and more importantly, what you're going to do not only tomorrow, but after they die. That's exciting, God. What else is more exciting than serving you? Thank you. Lord, we thank you for that permit. We thank you for a unanimous vote. Thank you for what you did in that meeting, and all the people who were there saw how you just took over that meeting and turned a tense room into one of joy and happiness. We thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege. We know it's a privilege and an honor and a responsibility to use it very properly and biblically. We want that building to honor you, God. We want everything that goes on in that building to honor you. We want to change this city. We're in a battle, though. We know that. We know the enemy is raging. We saw that at the meeting, people speaking out against us. But Lord, he who's in the world can't compare to he who's in us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for these people who come forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're going to ask all y'all to just walk and make a left there. Let's give them a hand as they walk that way. And next week, come on next week, bring your friends, bring your brain. We're going to go through Genesis. Amen. 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 God bless you.